If you have a Bible, let's turn to the book of Ruth and chapter 3. The book of Ruth, chapter 3. Have you ever been sound asleep and suddenly in the midst of your sleeping you are awakened? You're awakened in a way that is very surprising. Or you're awakened in a way that is perhaps frightening. And we call that being rudely awakened. Rudely awakened. In fact, in the Bible, it's interesting that we find several people who experienced such a thing as a rude awakening. Take, for example, Adam. Adam went to sleep and he woke up to discover that he had undergone major surgery and now he was a married man. Or consider the example of Jacob. Jacob woke up and actually discovered that he had married the wrong woman. And Boaz, another example of someone who had a rude awakening. Because you see, he went to sleep after a hard day of work in the fields. And then there was that late night that he had spent winnowing the grain that had been harvested during the day. Ruth chapter 3 verse 2 tells us. In fact, he was so tired that night that Boaz didn't even go home. We would say he slept at the office that night. And while he was sleeping there in the office in Ruth chapter 3, verse 7, he was suddenly awakened in the middle of the night to find a woman curled up at his feet. Now, you remember last time we saw that Ruth, we saw how that she was stuck. She had met Boaz and had experienced his gracious protection. She had experienced his gracious provision. Because of him, she now was experiencing a great hope. Hope had been renewed. Hope had been restored that she would be able to find happiness once again. And so therefore, she naturally wanted to get to know him better. She wanted to know him in a more personal, more intimate way. But as a foreigner who was not really familiar with Jewish custom, she found herself stuck. She found herself stuck. In other words, she needed someone who would help her to fan the flames. Help her to fan the flames. And so we saw how that her mother-in-law, Naomi had determined that she would help Ruth. She would help Ruth to find the rest and the happiness that she longed for by giving her some advice about how to fan this romantic flame. And so we saw, number one, the basis of her advice. Remember in chapter 3, verse number 2, we saw the basis of Naomi's advice was simply that she knew who Boaz was. And not only did she know who he was, she knew where he was. And so there was the basis for her advice. But then you remember we saw, number two, the content of her advice. There were four things that Naomi instructed Ruth that she should do. Four things she instructed Ruth that she should do. First of all, she ought to wash herself. She ought to clean off the dirt and the grime and the smell of working in the fields all day long under the hot sun. She ought to take a bath. She ought to wash herself. And then after that, number two, she ought to anoint herself. She ought to put on some of that good smelling stuff, the perfume, the cologne, whatever. And so she ought to be clean and she ought to smell good. And not only that, she needed to look good. She told her how to dress herself. How to go into her wardrobe and get out her best robes and to put those on. And then Naomi told her how she should present herself. She should come to Boaz. She ought to come with an attitude of secrecy and with an attitude of humility. And so we ended last time by noting Ruth's response to the advice that was given to her by her mother-in-law, Naomi. And her response, it's found in chapter 3, verse 5. She said unto her, "All that thou sayest unto me, I will do." In other words, whatever it takes. I'm willing to do whatever it takes in order to have a closer, more personal, more intimate relationship with Boaz. Well, now I want us to look at the other side. I want us to look at the other side of this issue and the other side of this blossoming relationship. And I want us to notice how Boaz responded to Ruth. How Boaz responded to Ruth. Now, you remember we said before in an earlier study, we said before that Ruth represents a new believer. And how that Boaz is a type, he is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when a believer seeks to grow closer to the Savior, when the believer seeks to have a more personal, more intimate relationship with the Lord, then the Bible says there is a wonderful promise that is given. And it's found in James chapter 4, verse 8. Here's the promise. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. And that's exactly what we're going to see illustrated here in the life of Boaz. As he responds to Ruth, notice first of all, number one, Boaz graciously received her. There's three things that we would mention here. First of all, I want to mention Ruth's presentation. We find it in verse number 7 of chapter 3. Ruth chapter 3, verse number 7. The Bible says, "And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down." After a hard day of working in the field and then winnowing the grain, Boaz, he eats a meal, he eats, he drinks, his heart is merry. In other words, he is filled with thanksgiving to God for the bountiful harvest that he has received. And so he goes then in and he lays down to sleep. And as he's laying there, then Ruth comes. And she uncovers his feet and lays her down there. By the way, that's exactly what Naomi had instructed. That's exactly what Naomi had told her to do. And again, let me say, there was nothing immoral. There was nothing suggestive in this action. Rather, it was a sign of the attitude of her heart. It was a sign of her humility, a sign of her submission to Boaz. And so we find her presentation. And then notice letter B, we find Ruth's pronouncement. In verse 8 and verse 9, the Bible says, "It came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself. Behold, a woman lay at his feet, and he said, 'Who art thou?' And she answered, 'I am Ruth, thine handmaid.'" You see, not only do we find that Ruth presented herself to Boaz, but now she is announcing, she's making the pronouncement that she is not expecting anything special. Rather, she is simply presenting herself as the handmaid, the servant of Boaz. And then we see her proposal, letter C, Ruth's proposal in verse number 9. She said, "Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." Now, this obviously is something that is foreign to our way of thinking. This is not something that we would see in our culture today. And so therefore, in order to understand exactly what is going on here, we have to go back into the Scriptures to see how the Bible defines this thing of spreading the skirt over someone, as Ruth asked Boaz to do. And in order to see the defining of this action, let's go to the book of Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse number 8. In Ezekiel chapter 16, verse number 8, the Bible says, "Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thine time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine." You see, when the Lord God looked upon the nation of Israel, and saw them in the condition that they were in. He had compassion on them. He spread his skirt over them, thereby entering into a covenant relationship with them, and they became his. Now, that's exactly what Ruth is asking Boaz to do. She is asking Boaz to spread his skirt, to spread his robe over her. In other words, she is basically proposing to him that he would marry her and bring her under his protection. Now, certainly Boaz knew who he was. He knew that he was a near kinsman to Ruth. He knew that as a near kinsman, that it was his responsibility. He had the right to marry her and to raise up heirs for the sons of Naomi. However, he had not proposed marriage. He had not broached the subject of marriage to Ruth. And there were two reasons why. First of all, because of his age. Now, we're going to say more about that in just a few moments. But that was number one, because of his age. But number two, he had not broached the subject of marriage because he understood his position. You see, Boaz understood that there was another kinsman. Ruth chapter 3 verse 12 tells us. There was another kinsman who was actually nearer than he was. And so because of his age, because of his position, Boaz had never broached the subject of marriage to Ruth. But when Ruth came and humbly submitted herself to him, he simply would not turn her away. He would not turn her away. Rather, he graciously received her. And then we find number two, that Boaz spoke to her. He spoke to her in the darkness of that threshing floor. Remember we read in the scripture? It's midnight. And in the darkness of the threshing floor, Ruth could not clearly see the expression on the face of Boaz. However, she could hear his voice. She could hear the tone of his voice. She could get a sense of his feeling through the sound of his voice. And I want you to notice that there were four things that she was able to hear as Boaz spoke to her. First of all, she heard, letter A, his blessing. She heard his blessing, verse number 10. And he said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord." This blessing, it's actually based on Ruth's actions. Notice it in verse 10. "Blessed be thou of the Lord, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning." Now let me tell you exactly how this plays out. You see, Ruth had shown much kindness in the beginning. She had shown much kindness in the beginning. She had been kind to her husband in life. She had been kind to him in death. She had also been kind to her mother-in-law in the beginning. She had shown kindness when she said, "I'm going to leave my country and I'm going to follow you to your country, and your people will become my people and your God will become my God." She had shown much kindness in leaving her own country and her own kindred. She had shown kindness when she determined to come and dwell with Naomi's people in the land of Israel. And she had also shown great kindness when she had gone out into the fields and diligently gleaned in the fields in order that she and her mother-in-law might have food to eat. But now Boaz says that you were very kind in the beginning, but your kindness to me is even greater. It's even greater. And then Boaz explains what he means. Notice it in verse number 10. "Inasmuch you were kind in the beginning, you're even more kind now, and here's the reason why. Thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich." In other words, Ruth's kindness to Boaz was that she had chosen him. She had chosen him over all of the available young men, both rich and poor. who were nearer to her own age. And therefore we see letter B, his acceptance. His acceptance. Instead of being angry with her for frightening him, and instead of rebuking her for boldly asking him to marry her, Boaz showed his acceptance of her. Notice in verse 10, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter." And then again in verse number 11, he says, "And now, my daughter." The Hebrew word that is translated daughter here in these two passages, it actually carries the idea of the apple of the eye. In other words, it is a term of deep, strong affection. The apple of the eye. In other words, it showed his acceptance not only of Ruth, but it showed his deep affection for her. And then we see letter C, his encouragement. In verse number 11, we find those two powerful words, "Fear not." Fear not. Even though there's a kinsman who was nearer than Boaz, chapter 3, verse 12 tells us. Even though there was a kinsman that was nearer than Boaz, yet Ruth did not need to worry. She did not need to be afraid. And that word of encouragement, that word of encouragement was based, letter D, on his promise. His promise. Verse number 11, Boaz said, "I will do. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." And even though there was a nearer kinsman, even though there was one who was actually more qualified to do the duty of the kinsman redeemer than Boaz was, yet Boaz said in verse number 13, "Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do to thee the part of a kinsman unto thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down until the morning." When we humbly come to God, when we humbly come to God with a desire to really know Him in a more intimate, a more personal kind of a way, He will. He will, just as Boaz spoke with Ruth, He will, God will, through His Word and by His Spirit, He will speak to us as well. He will speak to us. And so we so see that Boaz, he accepted her, and then he spoke to her. But then I want you to notice number 3, Boaz gave her gifts. He gave her gifts. A couple of things that I would mention here. First of all, there was the gift of protection. The gift of protection. And this protection can be seen in two ways. First of all, there was a protection for her person. A protection for her person. Notice again in verse number 13, Boaz said, "You lie down until the morning." In other words, Boaz did not want to expose Ruth to the dangers that might be met if she's out walking on the streets during those dark hours of the early morning. He wanted to protect her from that. And so he tells her to just stay put. He doesn't want her out on the dark streets of Bethlehem late at night. And so there was the gift of protection for her person. But there's also the gift of protection for her reputation. For her reputation. Notice it in verse number 14. The Bible says that she lay at his feet until the morning. And she rose up before one could know another. And he said, "Let it not be known that a woman came into the floor." Bottom line, Boaz did not want Ruth, even though there had been nothing wrong, Even though there had not been any sinful actions taking place, he wanted to protect Ruth's reputation. He did not want anyone to see her in a position that would possibly be misunderstood and would certainly feed the fires of gossip and slander. And so Boaz wanted to protect her from that. And so he told her to stay put for her own protection. But then early in the morning, he had her to leave. Before it was could clearly see who was who, he had her to leave so that her reputation would not be damaged. But then I want you to notice, not only was there the gift of protection, there was a gift of provision. The gift of provision. In verse number 15, he said, "Bring the veil that thou hast upon thee, and hold it." And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, and she went into the city. In other words, Boaz gave to Ruth. He gave to Ruth enough grain to take care of both herself and her mother-in-law for a period of at least 2 weeks. 2 weeks worth of food is provided for her. And that gift that Boaz gave was the fruit of his riches. It was the fruit of his riches. And you know, that's exactly what God gives to those who yield themselves completely to Him. That's exactly what God gives to those who desire to humbly come before Him and to learn of Him in a more personal and more intimate way. In fact, that's why the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and the riches of the glory of His inheritance. As we bring this to a close this evening, there are 2 final thoughts that I would like for us to notice together. Number one, I want us to notice Naomi's question. Naomi's question. After being on the threshing floor at night, presenting herself to Boaz as Ruth had done, she now comes home and we find that Naomi has a question. It's found in verse number 16. The Bible says that when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Who art thou, my daughter?" Now certainly Naomi recognized Ruth. She knew who she was. She called her my daughter. Certainly Ruth recognized her. So the question then is, well, then why did she ask, "Who are you?" Why did she ask that question? And it was simply for a clarification. It was for a clarification. In other words, Naomi was asking Ruth this: "Are you Ruth, the lonely widow, who is seeking joy and happiness and fulfillment? Or are you Ruth, the future Mrs. Boaz? Which one are you? Who are you, my daughter? Are you Ruth, who is still living in a state of unfulfilled unhappiness? Or are you now living in the light of a glorious prospect? Which one are you? Which one are you?" And certainly Ruth understood the question. She knew exactly what Naomi was talking about. And therefore, she did not identify herself. Rather, notice what the Bible says in verse 16 and verse 17. She told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, "These 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, 'Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law.'" After hearing all of those things, Naomi knew exactly who Ruth was. She knew that this was the future Mrs. Boaz. But not only do I want you to notice Naomi's question. Number 2, I want you to notice her advice. Naomi's advice. Once again, she's going to give Ruth some good advice. Notice it in verse number 18. "Then said she, 'Sit still, my daughter, till thou hast known how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. You know, the same is true in our relationship with God. There are times when we need to act. There are times when we need to take an initiative. There are times when there are things that we need to do. But there are also times when we need to learn to simply sit still and wait on Him. Give Him time to do the work. Now let me ask you two questions and I'm going to close. First of all, who are you? Who are you? Have you, by repenting of your sin and placing your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, have you been graciously accepted by God and made to be His child? If that's not a reality in your life, if you do not know for sure that God is your Father, that heaven is your home, that your sins have been forgiven, if you don't have that assurance tonight, then I hope that before this night is done, that you would come to know the God of heaven, the Creator of all things, that you would come to know Him in a personal way. And if you do know Him, if you have been born again and saved by the grace of God, let me ask you this. Are you humbly waiting on Him? Are you humbly waiting on Him and allowing Him to work in your life? Are you humbly submitting yourself to Him? Are you choosing Him over all others? Whether it be people or things, are you humbly submitting and choosing Him? Are you listening to His Word? Are you receiving the gifts that He has for you? I'm talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In other words, are you doing whatever it takes? Are you doing whatever is necessary in order that your relationship with God might truly grow deeper, that it might truly grow sweeter, that it might truly grow more precious? Bottom line this evening, simply this: the greatest act of kindness, the greatest act of worship that we can show to our God is that when we, just as Ruth did to Boaz, it's when we choose Him above everything else, and when we choose Him above everyone else. In other words, the greatest act of kindness, the greatest act of worship that we can show to our God is when we choose to make Him number one in our life. May God help us to do that. May God help us to do it.